I hold silver.
Is everyone still in focus now that we did that?
Yes.
Welcome to Human Reaction.
Cuomo's sexuality is back with a vengeance as the lockdown governor himself takes on the super socialist Zoran Mamdani in the biggest mayoral race that anybody has never cared about. New York City, of course, is electing a new mayor. We've got all sorts of news about that. Who is this guy? And most importantly, why should people outside of the city of New York care about this race?
Oh, I got a clip for you, actually, that I think answers just that.
So today, I'm officially starting Hot Girls for Cuomo. So if you are a hot girl for Andrew Cuomo, I want to hear from you.
Amazing.
Oh, man. Well, Kyle, what happens when you go to hotgirlsforcuomo.com?
Oh, yeah. 1 second.
You type it in.
The report of investigation into allegations of sexual harassment by Governor Andrew M. Cuomo.
Man, this is a spicy race we got going on
here,
guys.
So clearly this is going very well for Andrew Cuomo. This is the vibe I'm already getting, and we're 15 seconds into this conversation.
Oh, man.
This episode is brought to you by Revved Up Promo, the official apparel partner of Human Reaction. Revved Up is a premier full-service shop specializing in laser engraving, screen printing, and embroidery. Not only are they now making all of our apparel right down the road from us, they can do the same for your brand and ship it to you anywhere in the world. Revved Up helps you navigate the extensive universe of merch options and uses state-of-the-art techniques to showcase your brand in its very best light. So if you want to support our show and our generous sponsor, you can now do so by buying our merch and by turning to Revved Up Promo for your own custom apparel needs. Reach them at revveduppromo.com. That's with two V's and two P's. Or just check the show notes for a link.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many angles to why New York matters, right? I mean, it's the center of our culture in many ways, right? How many movies have you seen based out of, you know, New York?
Yeah.
Spider-Man's there, man.
The Big Apple.
And the Avengers.
The Statue of Liberty.
And Doctor Strange. I watched a lot of Marvel
Jews
movies
and
recently.
Tunnels.
Yeah, Jews and Tunnels. Also the Jews
and Tunnels. All the biggest media moments of our lives, really.
It's the center of the finance of the
totally
world. One of the centers,
that.
Right?
I mean, for sure.
Like 9% of the U.S. GDP comes from just New York.
So it's right. So safe to say that it is really important who the mayor of New York City is.
Yes, it is, right? And unfortunately, at least one of the guys is a sexual harasser, and the other guy is eats rice
socialist.
With his fingers. Apparently, that's which is so weird.
And burritos with a fork.
Yeah, and burritos with a fork. And
well, it's also crazy because there was all the Eric Adams stuff before this, who was also running for New York mayor, and you know he basically just got attacked. And I don't even know where this current state of his.
He has dropped out.
He dropped out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, and he has endorsed Cuomo.
Wow.
All right. Yeah. So we've got like the New York.
He's really trying to not go to jail.
Well, he should probably endorse the other guy then because the other guy's winning.
That would make sense to me. But it seems like we've got the New York old guard political establishment in Cuomo and Adams. And then this insurgent young guy who's kind of got this charisma. Is that sort of the dynamic that's shaping up here?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. It's Indian socialist versus like Italian mafia goon. Like that's kind of the race right now.
Well,
but it's like old guard mafia again.
At least he's not a pervert. He's just Italian.
I forgot I had that queued up. Here is Fox News Cuomo. I'm not perverted. I'm just Italian.
That is the wildest. Chevron, you've ever is Chevron? That's what it's called.
Chiron.
I've ever seen. I've never heard of just, especially the look on his face.
I really feel like I need like a. It's me, Mario.
We'll drop a hat on him in post.
But this is also people forget how crazy that time because this is like the COVID era. This is 2021. This is also when his brother got canned from CNN.
Right.
It was like a month after this and. Mm-hmm. All this happening like months after the Cuomo sexual, all the celebrities going on, being like, we're Cuomo sexual, lockdown, mm-hmm. you know, all that stuff that was going on.
As you referenced in the beginning, if you remember right, it was like trying to make him cool.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. In the midst of a sexual allegation.
Well, the sexual allegation stuff came
afterwards.
Well, it's like the stuff was lingering, but it didn't start hitting until all of a sudden it just came out of nowhere. And all of a sudden, like, we really got to care about this. And it always made me wonder if there was some sort of thing that happened in the background where it's like Cuomo was clearly going to be the next Democratic presidential like candidate. And all of a sudden it was like, nope, you're out, gone. Mm-hmm. And then now you're a podcaster. Like you went and started a podcast afterwards and like for a little bit.
Wannabe.
He's just copying us.
Seriously. Not everybody has what we have, right?
So anyway. So this week we had the race, had a debate, and that's been making the rounds. So hence this news podcast is covering it.
All right.
And so let's see how the debate went.
Yeah. So so here is kind of an interesting exchange between Mamdani and Cuomo. And don't worry, we're going to get into a little bit about who this Mamdani guy is. But here's essentially Cuomo giving him his resume.
I understand my friend doesn't really understand government. The governor doesn't build housing in New York City.
Not if it's you.
No, legally, there are jurisdictions. The governor doesn't pick up trash. He doesn't run the fire department. That's what the mayor does. The mayor builds housing. The state allocates funding for localities. And I allocated more funding for housing than any governor in the history of the state of New York. All right. I did things. You have never had a job. You've never accomplished anything. There's no reason to believe you have any merit or qualification for 8.5 million lives. You don't know how to run a government. You don't know how to handle an emergency. And you've literally never proposed a bill on anything that you're not talking about in your campaign. You had the worst attendance record in the assembly, and you gave yourselves the highest raise in the United States of America. You went from $110,000 to $140,000, and then you never showed up for work and you missed 80% of the votes. Shame on you. Shame on you.
Woof. Okay.
Woof. Never had a job. The lighting
I
on.
I don't know what we're yelling about.
The lighting on Mamdani is really rough. Did you notice that?
Go back.
Cuomo
freeze
looks
frame,
good.
Freeze frame on him.
But Mamdani looks rough, man.
So this is a was it a the JFK debate?
Yeah,
that was the first televised debate. Mm-hmm. And he got all the makeup done and everything. Mm-hmm. And remind me, his
Nixon.
Opponent, Nixon, of course, was all sweaty. You kind of got a similar thing going on. This guy's very shiny. No disrespect.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's hereditary, perhaps. You know, I'm not trying to call him out for his excessive sweating habits. But it is an interesting look. You're right.
Yeah, right. There's something up with the lighting or the makeup in that case.
I feel like Mamdani just doesn't have any makeup and Cuomo does for him, I guess, which is why he looks sweaty.
Mm.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
He's also half his age. It's probably an element there.
Maybe he uses beef tallow moisturizer. By our new spot number. God, that'd be a really great spot, though.
Yeah, that would be a great spot.
If you're a beef tallow company out there and you want to advertise on the show, come at us. We got a good one for you.
And I think it would only be fair if we had the other side of the back and forth of Mamdani yelling at Cuomo.
On you. Shame on you.
It is always a pleasure to hear Andrew Cuomo create his own facts at every debate stage.
Yeah.
We just had a former governor say in his own words that the city has been getting screwed by the state. Who was leading the state? It was you.
Governor Hochul.
You were leading the state for
Governor
10 years.
Governor Hochul.
Screwing the city.
No.
You cut
you
homelessness
as a legislator.
You cut funding for the
you
MTA.
As a
you did all of these things, my
that's
friend.
The
that's
past 4 years. It's the past 4 years.
Some rando in the crowd shouting, this is the most New York debate I've ever seen.
Isn't it kind of a travesty that they didn't have a crowd during the presidential debate, though?
Yeah.
Because you have this
you
element.
Don't get this.
For sure.
It makes it so much more fun.
Yeah.
It made the awkwardness of Biden being so much weirder when there was just nobody there when he was just falling apart.
They couldn't even turn on the applause signs and get like something to happen.
Yeah, it really went against Biden's favor because there was nobody to kind of like manufacture clapping for him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So one thing, if you watch it with the volume off, and you look at the lady in the bottom right corner, it is actually really hilarious.
Like,
you
get it? I was watching her.
I wasn't even watching the candidates. I was just watching her. Watch her. Like, she's like trying to deal when they start back and forth.
Let me get the back and forth here.
It was you. It was you. It was you. That guy's got a tough job, man. It's just like, he's got to do that on the fly.
I feel like she's just making things up.
Absolutely.
Do you remember that story about the sign language interpreter who got on stage at
Nelson Mandela's funeral?
Yes.
When Obama was
totally
speaking. he was a fake sign language translator that was standing next to Obama during Nelson Mandela's funeral. It was just like, what a Secret Service laughs.
That is the most Holiday Inn Express ad shit I've ever heard of in my life.
That's awesome.
I remember Dave Smith had a joke about that, and he was just like, it was something about, I'm going to butcher it, but I'll just paraphrase it. It was just like about being anything you could ever, like, you could dream of being. And it's like, no, I'm going to be Obama sign language translator. And I don't even know sign language.
So good. Okay. Oh, so do we have a consensus view of who won the debate? Did somebody come out the clear winner?
I mean, of that exchange, it's pretty even. I mean, if like, I thought that Mamdani's redirection was solid, right? He delivered it well, like, make up your own facts. It's a way of dismissing the other person's point.
Yeah.
But it's hard to, I don't know, I haven't done the research to know whether or not it was a solid land on, do you have a job? How many people in New York have a job?
I don't know.
Unemployment's pretty high, so I might not be totally sympathetic.
I believe the polling on the debate itself was kind of like 50-50. I can just pull it up real quick. But
the polling, by and large, in the election is very much weighted in Mamdani's favor.
Right, it's now looking like the poly market, and I'll just pull up the poly market chart right now. Last I checked, it was sitting at 93% going towards Mamdani. So this is prediction markets. That's not actual polling, but prediction markets.
Well, polling's been notorious.
Yeah, this is probably more accurate. Yeah. Currently 93%. Andrew Cuomo, 6%. Curtis here. The Republican,
he's hanging 1%. In. He's hanging in there.
Poor guy.
I don't know. Like, I'm looking at this and I'm seeing Michael Bloomberg, you still got a chance, bro. And Andrew Yang, you still got a chance.
Yang gang.
Yang gang.
Hey, Rudy Giuliani's polling in there.
Which, who never even ran, but Andrew Yang was in the race at one point in time. In the early days.
Wow.
Kyle, I think you should throw your hat in the ring.
Can non-New York residents run? I feel like they should be. They're all pro just mass immigration in New York City, aren't they?
I mean, clearly, if these two are the best that New York City can muster, I think you have a shot.
I am a foreigner. I am Canadian.
Yeah. Yes. And they could use some good foreign replacement in New York City, couldn't they?
Which is what Mamdani wants, from my understanding.
You fit right in.
Hey, Mamdani.
My man, Mamdani.
I'm an American citizen.
Disclaimer.
Just disclaimer.
ICE just kicks in the door.
ICE, open up. Shit.
So who is this Mamdani guy? I mean, I've seen a lot about him. Like I said, all I've seen is him eat rice with his hands and
fail at a bench press.
Help me out now.
Yeah, struggle to bench 135. Yeah.
Okay, so out of the two, the bench press is the greater sin. You know, the way you want to eat, but you're a man. What are you doing?
You got to be able to put up.
Cuomo's just at least a plate. Going pizza and pasta, just one-handed bench pressing. So I guess a little bit of a bio for people that don't really know about Mamdani, because a lot of people, probably like a lot of us that aren't in New York, are probably like, it's kind of this distant thing. Don't really care about it. This guy, 34 years old. He was born in 1991. Born in Uganda, but he's also of Indian descent. His mother is a renowned filmmaker. I looked her up. I don't know any of the films, but she's renowned.
In India? Bollywood?
Yeah, I think they're Indian films, probably.
Hollywood. Yeah.
Probably Indian films is probably why. I don't know. I'm ignorant of Bollywood. I don't know.
Get some culture, Kyle.
Culture.
What's wrong with
you? Slumdog Millionaire. Jeez, look it up.
His father is a Columbia University professor specialized in Africa and colonialism. So you can probably see where the ideological streak is.
That's where the eating rice with his hands comes from.
Why is it so funny? It is hilarious,
it's kind of interesting.
That's also a cultural thing that they do.
Look, I don't want to be racist, but no.
That had nothing to do with it.
In India, it's a cultural thing?
No, in Africa.
In Africa. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, it's different hands thing with India.
His middle name is Kwame, I believe, which is the first president of Uganda. They named him after the first president of Uganda. There's a lot of Uganda ties that exist there.
Okay.
That'd I'm be getting a big Obama vibes. Colonial sign, too.
A lot of Obama vibes. You're
That's it's that a thing a, to notice. That was a birther joke. Sorry.
It is a thing to notice.
Well, no, it's a real thing. There is a good thread there. So Obama's dad was a Marxist economist who specialized in anti-colonial economics.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah, but he was from Africa, and then he was in Hawaii, met his mom, all that kind of stuff. But yeah.
Weird CIA ties and with the mom, all that stuff's all juiced up in there.
So who in Mom Donnie's family is in the CIA? Have we gotten that far yet?
I don't know. I haven't dug that far. Wow. Grok?
Hey, Grok.
We have to wait for Grokopedia tomorrow. That's when it comes out. All the anti-CIA.
Then we'll know.
Then we'll know the truth.
By the time this podcast comes out, you can look that up for us on Grokopedia, and you can drop it in the comments.
Allegedly, it's supposed to come out tomorrow. I know Elon delayed it. But anyways, he entered politics through the Democratic Socialists of America and managed campaigns in, I wrote 2025, it's supposed to be 2015. So campaign guy. He upset in Queens in a race for state assembly in 2020. He upset a four-term incumbent in 2020 and then got reelected with nobody going against him in 2022 and 2024. Hmm. And then I guess, according to Cuomo, he didn't show up for 80% of the votes. So I don't know how accurate that is. That's what Cuomo said in that clip that we watched.
You'd think, I mean, what was he doing in that time if he wasn't in the assembly?
Well, okay, in the East Coast, especially, and many places in the South, most votes are bullshit.
Yeah.
Meaning, like, it works a lot more like the federal government does, where most votes are symbolic, there are nothing votes, everything's put into a singular vote, usually some kind of omnibus bill that does everything. And that's the only vote you have to take because it's the only vote with policy. Everything else is committee work. In a lot of those kind of East Coast, and I'm painting with a broad brush. New Hampshire's different, you know, but a lot of those most very blue states, very East Coast states.
It's a lot different in places like here in Montana, where our legislative, you know, process only runs for like 4 or 5 months.
So they have to show up for it because it's
so
not
they just
very long.
Cram all their votes into a few months.
Well,
period.
And you can make a huge difference from the floor in places like Montana. Like everything is by issue. You can't do omnibus votes. Like all the territory states learned that lesson and did not put in their constitutions and their legislative rules that you can't do that.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Huh. He's also a practicing 12er Shia Muslim.
Whoa, a 12er.
Yeah, he's a 12er.
Wow.
Shia.
Interesting.
Like
interesting
a 12-step in program into Islam?
the 12ers
step
are...
Step one, jihad. No.
Step one.
Step two, jihad.
Step three, profit.
Profit.
Oh, the double meaning.
I meant that.
Oh, yeah. Solid.
Pun intended.
Yeah.
Anyway. The 12ers are, they have this whole prophecy, like the 12 Imam, it's this whole thing. 12, we don't need to get into it.
Yeah. But it's like a end of times, you know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like this whole thing that comes out of the Shia branch. It's the most prominent branch of the Shia branch, but it's kind of in that whole realm. Yeah. So that's kind of the overview of who he is. And, you know, he's a young guy. He's kind of like this AOC-like figure where, you know, he just kind of came out, had a really good social media presence, is really good on social media. He's really effective at kind of the new ways of doing campaigning and politics. And, you know, he's kind of bombastic enough and charismatic enough where the dude's just really taken hold during this process. I imagine we're probably going to be seeing a lot more candidates like this. This is kind of the new age politician, is these like young mid 30s, really good at social media type of people, millennials, you know, like the JD Vance, AOC.
Yeah.
Mom Donnie.
So if Cuomo has hot girls for Cuomo, who is coming out to vote for Mom Donnie? Who is his like primary constituency that's seeming like
ugly ones?
I was gonna say burkas for.
I could see the veins in your neck bulging as you held that in.
Like should I say it?
Well said.
Yeah,
glad you did. But seriously, like, you know, who is he most popular with? I mean, I have to imagine it's young people. If he's younger, of course, than Cuomo, and he's kind of tying into social media in a relevant way.
Immigrant community. Like you could definitely see that.
There's a lot of polling on the immigrant side.
A lot of immigrants in New York City. I mean, English is not even a majority language in New York City.
Wow. English, motherfucker! Do you speak it?
No.
Which that actually ties directly into, I got two clips queued up here that kind of go into that, where specifically on the young people side. So Mom Donnie was just yesterday on the Flagrant podcast, Andrew Schultz, Akash Singh, all those guys. And they kind of went in, talked about some of the major, a lot of the issues had to revolved around rent prices and housing. That's kind of seems to be the core center of his campaign. So that kind of tells you, which is a young person issue, right? But here's them kind of talking about the young people side of this.
there's been a lot of lecturing and not much listening. And, you know, we saw a swing towards Trump here in New York City in the last general election.
Whose responsibility was that? Who the hell made that? The fuck are we even talking about?
Andrew endorsed guys. Trump. That's what they're talking about.
But you know, it was there are a lot of caricatures of who Trump voters are. And in New York City, we saw the swing was actually in the heart of immigrant New York. And I went to Hillside Avenue in Queens. I went to Fordham Road in the Bronx. And I asked New Yorkers, who did you vote for and why? And I met the vast majority of them were Trump voters. And I asked them why. And it just came back to cost of living, cost of living, cost of living. And if I had spent that time lecturing them as to why they were wrong, as opposed to listening to them as to how we could get right.
Yes.
Then we would run a very different campaign.
And this is one thing I've said I wanted to talk about. I feel like the establishment Democrats don't understand a pretty simple thing. We want to vote for someone who might make things better. Even if the risk is it will make things worse. A lot of people voted for Trump because he might make things better. And the other person is saying, I wouldn't change anything. Things are not good. In New York, things are not good right now.
It's the most expensive guy, city
to me,
America.
Just saying it's the same. It's and you're saying it could get better.
It's a privilege to maintain the status quo. You know what I mean? Like, if it, like, we're privileged, like, it's very nice to know that we're going to be okay.
Listen, I just hit the join DSA link. We can't afford more of the same.
So here's the thing. Like, it's so funny because I saw it was like Tucker Carlson and Charlie Kirk, and they were talking about you. I don't know if you remember this.
I didn't see it.
I'm going to pause it there because I actually have the clip that he's going to talk about. But
and let me correct
before we get into it.
52% of New York speak English.
Oh, wow.
So not quite a majority.
Just barely.
Just barely.
Wow.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I don't know. I
mean, 48% does not speak English.
Dude, like at all?
No, speak it natively.
Okay.
Right.
So I think it's shortly after they're talking about that. But from 2019 till now, I think they said New York prices of rent is up 90%.
Whoa.
From right before COVID.
Oof.
Yeah.
That is harsh.
Yeah, I have a clip on his talk on the rent freeze concept after we're done with this kind of section here. Yeah, it's pretty wild. Like you kind of get why it's one of those things where it really shows, and it's kind of like Akash said there, where there's kind of the people that are like, I'm going to keep it the status quo. And then you have the people that are like, nah, we got to change some shit. And now the change some shit kind of takes a lot of different forms, but people are much more interested in the change some shit type of candidates, right?
Yeah.
Rather than the kind of
AI
centrist
is kind of a fancy thing. It's, first of all, it's two letters.
The status quo.
Status quo.
Oh, God. Yeah. I don't miss thinking about her.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
America's wine mom?
You miss her outfits. Man.
Wait till 2027, 2028. She'll be back.
I miss Nikki Haley's outfits.
I think it's going to be a short
There was
stint,
some
though.
Shit to talk about with Nikki Haley's outfits.
Nikki Haley's outfits, yeah.
But Kamala just wore the pantsuit all the time, and that's boring.
It was boring. I mean,
it's safe and it's smart, but it's boring.
Yep.
Status quo.
Nikki Haley was the candidate of change for women's fashion. That's what it was.
Something like that. Yeah, trying to normalize wearing loungewear and bathrobes in public on stage. It's a bold choice, Cotton.
We got to bring back the Joe criticizes women's fashion segment
of
the show.
It was a great segment. I loved it.
It's a good segment.
Yeah, so I pulled the clip. I went and found the clip that they're talking about here, and I figured it might just be, we can look at the Charlie Kirk and Tucker conversation about Mamdani, but this is several months ago, obviously, because Charlie Kirk is no longer with us, but it goes into a lot of that, like what young people are really craving right now conversation and why Mamdani is such a appealing candidate in the same way that Trump is such an appealing candidate. Like it goes into kind of the horseshoe of what people want in their candidacy at the moment.
But they were
As I pulled the wrong clip.
So a couple things. Number one, the rise of Mamdani should be it's a coming attraction of what is coming next.
Who's Mamdani?
Zohran Mamdani, the Muslim communist that is running for mayor in New York City, who obviously there's a whole rabbit hole we can go down there. He just looks kind of be like central casting and, his ideas are terrible. He wants the city to run the grocery stores, all that. But I think most people are missing the point of really what this is. This is yet another distress signal by young people to say, hey, if you're not going to fix our life economically, we're going to get very radical politically. Now, let's take a step back. President Trump won the youth vote in many states across the country, in many battleground states. Now, Tucker, 12, 13 years ago when I started Turning Point, if you would have told me that a Republican running for the presidency would be winning the youth vote in Michigan and in Arizona, I'd say no way. It's an incomprehensible accomplishment of what President Trump was able to do. One of the reasons he was able to win younger voters and younger men, especially in big numbers, is that they were trying to get their leader's attention. They said, hey, this guy, Donald Trump, he is pledging to go fix our economic anxiety. He is loud. He is going to get your attention. Donald Trump was a distress signal by a lot of young people, especially young men, that were stuck in a credit-centric renter economy. And again, this is what is the rise of Mom Donnie. It's just another iteration of this, only from the left, which is
a credit-centric renter economy.
Yes, which is the way that we need to focus, that we need to kind of frame this. And conservatives, I think I know why, are just so unwilling to have this conversation. And I'm not even to get into what we should do about it. I think I have some good ideas. And trust me, I'm not a socialist. I'm a market guy. I like capitalism. I think markets are good. I think entrepreneurship is good. But we need to kind of paint this picture first, because I think I know this for certain, so many people in DC have no idea what I'm talking about when I bring this up to them. And secondly, a lot of people over 50 think this is a foreign concept, and they think, quite honestly, this is just the complaining of young people that don't want to work. So let me kind of paint this picture. It is harder than ever to own a home. We know this, but how much harder? Back when my parents had to go own a home, the price of a home—
How old are your parents?
They're early 70s. Yep. So late 60s, early 70s. So baby boomers.
Yeah.
And great parents, by the way, phenomenal upbringing, great values. So back when they wanted to go buy a home in their beginning income years, you know, 1970s, 1980s, home prices were on average about three times the average income in America. They are now seven times the average income in America. Rents have gone up inflation adjusted from about $900 a month to now about $1,500 a month.
Inflation adjusted.
The age of a first-time home buyer in 2008 was 30 years old. It is now 38 years old. First-time home buyer. So when we have a picture of a first-time home buyer—
And that's scary.
You think—
Stop it there.
Yeah, that gets a good sense for the economic anxiety Mom Donnie's tapping into. Mm-hmm. The reason I was laughing is because the way the text was interpreting Mom Donnie looked like it was interpreted by like some old grandma, like stenographer that was like Italian. That was like Mom Donnie. That was extra ironic then, right? Because Cuomo, you know,
it was pretty humorous in the
Mom
moment.
Mom Donnie,
yeah.
but yeah, that's the real feeling, I think, of a lot of people.
For
and
sure.
Is that what we think Mom Donnie is tapping into?
Yeah. I think it's also what guys like Bernie Sanders was tapping into. I think it's what people like AOC was tapping into. I think it's what Trump was tapping into. There's this kind of like, whatever the current thing is that we're doing that's not working. So like, we got to do something here. We got to fix it. But then a lot of people are kind of looking at it, you know, they look to Ron Paul, they look to Bernie Sanders, they kind of just do the scattershot. And you see that kind of in people's political trajectories where they kind of like, you know, like a lot of the same people that were voting for Ron Paul in 2008 were then voting for Bernie Sanders in 2016. You're like, that doesn't make sense.
And then voting for Trump
politically speaking, right? Like, yeah, like that back and forth to go there. You're just like, on a normal kind of ideological scale, none of that makes sense. Mm. But it's not necessarily because it's ideological. It's just like, there's a clear problem here.
We just want something different.
And like the central figures, the people of the establishment or whatever, like they seem very out of touch. Kind of like Charlie was saying there, is like, I bring this up to people in DC and they have no idea what they're talking about there. They're just like, oh, youth, go get a job. You know, like that's all that's all they say to it.
Well, and that's the boomer trope of millennials on down, right? Is, you know, you're lazy. And, yeah. Buy less avocado toast and expensive coffee and you'll be fine. It's like, okay. Yeah.
Pull you up by your, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Like, right.
By your what straps?
By your boob straps? Forgive me, I'm Italian.
He doesn't have a stutter, he's Italian.
Mamma mia.
You were saying, Joe, sorry.
That's okay. I mean, you can say that, right? All the avocado toast, coffee rhetoric, that stuff is irrelevant in the face of those facts that Charlie brought up, right? Mm-hmm. Talking about the inflation adjustment and how, you know, the age of the average first-time home buyer is up 8 you know, 8 years in less than 20.
Right.
That's significant stuff. And that's happening everywhere. But my question is, you know, people talk about wanting something different. Mamdani represents something different, but do his policies actually bring something different? Is he espousing anything other than just more rent controls for New York City to solve the insane cost of housing in New York?
You know, a lot of the conversation that I've been gleaming just from like scanning him in interviews and stuff like that is it is kind of a let's just throw a bunch of shit at the wall and hope that it lands and that we can like bully our way through the state legislature and the governor's office in order to be able to get what we want. Like there's a lot of like that type of stuff that's going on with the,
which is
so,
what,
so it's
though?
Like, so it's like, there's like rent controls. There's, he does talk about cutting out dumb regulations. I do have a clip on that here too, which is kind of interesting for a it's not something you would expect to hear from a socialist.
It's kind of the Democrat moment right now, though. That's if you look at Ezra Klein and that strain in the Democrat Party, it's a real part
the
of
the abundance.
Yeah,
narrative. A crazy right winger, Ezra Klein.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. well, and it was kind of like I remember when I was explaining the Carney. In like the Prime Minister of Canada, him coming in and who he was, he came in and was just like, we're going to reverse a bunch of this old Trudeau stuff. We're going to cut some taxes. And you're just like, the Liberal Party. Interesting.
Yep.
We're like, we're going to cut back on a lot of that stuff.
But this is the maxim. This is always the maxim of almost everyone in American politics. Everyone runs like a libertarian.
Yeah.
And then governs like a statist.
Well, Carney actually did start cutting taxes, but there is kind of,
I know you're mentioning Canada in that case, but I would say the same thing with Mamdani and these other folks. It's like the minute they get resistance from the administrative state, they give up. They just go like, oh, well, I guess we can't do that because there are trade-offs, right? And they're never willing to bear the weight of the trade-off.
Right.
It's the thing Millet says, afuera.
Afuera. Afuera.
That's one of those things where I'm not sure how fully well thought out he is on his stuff. Like, he's clearly intelligent in his talking points and things like that throughout all of this. Like, he's very politically savvy and he kind of knows how to talk, and like he gives off the like a very smart, like intelligent person vibe in the way that he talks about policy issues. Like, he really knows what he talks about. Now, the problem is I don't know New York politics, so I don't know if he actually knows what he's talking about in a lot of those things. But I'm also like I'm much more of a libertarian, Ben, where I'm not going to be pro rent control or anything like that. Like, you know, that's not, in my opinion, sound economics, but
right. It's also not anything other than the status quo. More importantly, and all he had to say here on the Flagrant podcast clip was people want something different, but that's just not different. It's just more of the same thing that New York has been struggling under forever.
My understanding, one of the parts of his platform is it's not necessarily even like a cap on rent. It's much more like the rate at which rent can increase is what they're taking, which is still rent control, but it's not like, it's not like the extreme of the cap of it, but it's also like, yeah, you're just saying that.
It has the same economic incentives as the challenge.
It's like less of the like economic down problem because it's like you're kind of controlling it a little bit, but it is still the economics of the situation of just like basic supply and demand is still there with the shortage.
Right. So to be clear, the prediction will be from the basic econ will be that you'll get less quality apartments and less apartments built and or turned over if you have that policy. And the case example reason why and is New York, actually.
Right.
And what they've done with rent control over time, it has never worked to produce less rents except for the people who benefited at the time by those rent controls over that short period of time. But then there's no way to maintain those apartments, so then they run into disrepair. The other side of that, and this is from last week's episode, so you got to watch every episode if you really want a whole view of it. Argentina, you weren't here for this. Argentina repealed their rent control 2 years ago. Supply of new apartments tripled.
Wow.
In two years. And dropped the price by 30%.
Holy moly.
By repealing rent control. So this is one of those things of like understanding where your market's at. New York already has a lot of rent control. It might be repealing rent control is the thing that would actually do.
What if we just did more?
Built more apartments.
That's always kind of the progressive, you know, motto in a lot of ways. Oh, that's always so annoying where
it'll
it's just
work
like,
this time.
Yeah, where it's just like, well, we just didn't go far enough. We just need to do more of it. And it's like, no, maybe, what if we tried the opposite this time? Just this one time, what if we tried the opposite?
And when you said like the goal is just do a bunch of stuff and then try to bully it through the legislature and the governor, that sounds like FDR to me. That's like an FDR-like approach to governing. take the most radical ideas you can, throw them into the mix, see what happens. If you don't, if it's not working out, jettison it and then go on to something else. And that has its benefits, right? You can really move the ball and be seen doing lots of things, and it can make you popular because you're on the news showing all the things you're doing. The challenge is that you might make the depression worse, like FDR did. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. Well, here, just speaking of this topic, this next clip here is them talking a little bit around this area.
That there's a truth to that where, look, I'm somebody who believes in the public sector. Yeah. I believe in regulation.
Yeah.
I also believe that if I can't give you the reason for the regulation, yeah, then it has no reason to exist.
Yeah.
I cannot justify a restaurant giving the city every year $25 for the right to sell a frozen dessert. That doesn't make sense. Right? That is something that should be eliminated.
Yeah. Okay.
I cannot justify someone who wants to open a barbershop filling out 24 forms, going to 7 agencies, and then attending 12 in-person events.
Yeah.
That does not make sense to me.
Right.
So I think that there is a truth to some of the regulations we've created have made it far more difficult to build housing.
Yeah.
And even the justifications we used back then are not the ones that have been borne out today.
So we
need to change those.
So how do we, first of all, I completely agree. And it's like,
That's something I was kind of surprised to hear from him on that. Mm-hmm. But it does also, but this also just comes right after the conversation of him being like, imposing rent control too.
Also, keep in mind, Bill Clinton was the guy who did regulatory reform. He did more to regulatory reform than Reagan did.
Really?
Yeah, he did an entire red tape reduction. He said the era of big government is over, right? This is with Newt Gingrich as Speaker of the House, and the first time Republicans actually started to get legislative dominance for a short period of time in the 1990s. But this was a moment where only a Democrat can really do regulatory reform of that kind, because he could bring other Democrats along, to actually get it passed in the federal government. So the opportunities that he could actually do a lot of good things in deregulations if he chose to, because other Democrats are going to follow him because he's the mayor. But once the trade-off is known, right? Because it's easy to say that on the campaign trail, but once you're actually talking to the bureaucrat who actually owns that area and they start saying, well, we implement this for this reason, then it's going to get a whole different thing, because he's going to have his reason then.
Well, right. Yeah. And what if that $25 per ice cream shop fee pays for a handful of bureaucrats who are going to lose their jobs, and there's pressure from public sector unions, mm-hmm, and all the constituencies and interest groups that go around that? Like, yeah, you're right. He's going to run into a lot of headwinds. And how quickly is he going to fold? I mean, my guess is probably quickly, but I guess time will tell.
Fold as quickly as him under a one plate of bench press.
Oh!
Yeah. Sorry. I'm offended by only that. All the socialism is not a big deal to me. It's just that.
Also the rice with rice.
Lift some weights, bro.
Fold as quickly as the burrito under his fork.
So what else about Mondani? Okay, so he's for rent control. Not a surprise. But deregulation. And that is the Ezra Klein angle, right? Yeah. Like that's an important moment. And
it's
one
probably
of the
what creeped in there was probably a lot of the abundance stuff.
I'm seeing Republicans start to be like, I don't know if we should go along with deregulating building codes because Mamdani's in favor of it.
Oh geez.
Right? Yeah. And Ezra Klein's in favor of it. It's like, guys, if your opponent is taking your position, let them.
Yeah.
That's how you win. Like, that's an easy win.
No, don't go reverse TDS. Don't go reverse TDS retardation, which is actually what I was going to say before you played that. Just because they're agreeing with you.
Yeah.
Let them. Yeah. That's a great point.
It's a basic art of war. If your opponent is making a mistake from your point of view, meaning like they're coming your way,
let them.
Shut up.
Yeah.
You've won the set. You've won.
Yeah.
You've gotten the sale. Quit talking.
It does kind of go into what they were talking about in the beginning of the podcast with some of those clips of like people want to be for something, and a lot of these types of people that you're describing, they're just against something. They're against whatever the next current thing is all the time, and it's just like, oh, it's exhausting. Mm-hmm. It's just exhausting. Another one of the major narratives around this race has become a Jewish versus Muslim narrative, especially with, with Israel, Gaza, and all that stuff going on. But there's, for instance, I have a clip here from the New York Times. Opinion from New York Times is why Mamdani frightens Jews like me.
Wow.
Right? But there's kind of this narrative.
I'm so fucking scared right now. You shut up.
There's this narrative of he's a jihadi that's going to enact Sharia law in New York. That's a lot of the phenomenon that I'm seeing online.
So over the top. Is this the equivalent of Donald Trump being a Nazi?
It feels like that to me.
It's just fear mongering at the end of the day, yeah. Obviously, right?
Although there was a clip from that debate among all the candidates, there was like six candidates that I found to be interesting. It had a lot of virtue signaling going on in this debate. I'm just gonna play it and have fun.
The first foreign visit by a mayor of New York is always considered significant. Where would you go first? Left to right, Ms. Adams.
First visit, I would visit the Holy Land.
Mr. Cuomo?
Given the hostility and the anti-Semitism that has been shown in New York, I would go to Israel.
Mr. Tilson, where would you go?
Yeah, I'd make my fourth trip to Israel, followed by my fifth trip to Ukraine, two of our greatest allies fighting on the front lines of the global war on terror.
Mr. Mamdani?
I would stay in New York City. My plans are to address New Yorkers across the five boroughs and focus on that.
Mr. Mamdani, can I just jump in? Would you visit Israel mayor?
I'll be standing up for Jewish New Yorkers, and I'll be meeting them wherever they are across the five boroughs, whether that's in their synagogues and temples or at their homes or at the subway platform, because ultimately we need to focus on delivering on their concerns.
And just yes or no, do you believe in a Jewish state of Israel?
I believe Israel has the right to exist.
Not as a Jewish state?
Notice. As a state with equal rights.
He won't say it has a right to exist as a Jewish state.
His answer was no. He won't visit Israel.
I said that's what he was trying to say. No, unlike you, I answer questions very directly.
My goal would be to take.
He goes right back to Israel. Whoa!
That's crazy.
That was such a setup. Holy crap. I've heard about that, but I've never actually sat and watched it.
Don't you just wish someone be honest and be like, to be honest, I'm going to go to Bali. I've always wanted to hit that beach up. I hear it's great. I would support that. Like, that person is really being honest.
I'd probably go to like Rome or something.
Yeah.
Well, you'd think Cuomo would go to Italy.
Yeah. Cuomo, go to Rome.
Mamma mia.
Your homeland.
Mamma mia. Yeah, just say I would go to the homeland. And be like, so Italy?
Yeah.
Interesting. The ethnicity thing you're picking up on there is interesting because he didn't say Italy. He said Israel.
Yeah.
What is going on where you have that kind of setup? That's a very coordinated moment. Like, they interrupted the flow of their own format just to dive deeper on his answer. What happened there? It's a very strange thing.
That is.
Well, and he also gave a very America first answer, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's the same sentiment that so many people have as the America first sentiment of like, let's stop caring about all these other countries all over the place. Like, we got problems here. Let's fix these problems here. You know, he has a socialist bent to it. You might call it, like, he's a national socialist, you might call it.
What are you insinuating, Kyle?
I don't even know what that means,
Kyle.
Who are the
nationalism's
social?
The thing. But it just takes a lot of different forms.
Oh, that's good.
Nothing bad can happen. It can only good happen.
Nothing bad can happen. It can only good happen.
Wow.
But
I just want one more note on that, because I really, you got to think about that moment where the press and all the other candidates are literally working together, maybe dynamically in the moment. Maybe they just all saw the opportunity and jumped on it. Or maybe there was a meeting beforehand and we got kind of like a Hillary Clinton, like, insider media thing deal going on.
In New York?
Never. Before you get rid of that, can you just play the phrasing of the question one more time?
Yeah.
Just
at the beginning?
Yeah. Just play the...
Foreign visit by a mayor of New York is always considered significant. Where would you go?
That's it. Why?
Yeah.
Why is it considered significant?
Yeah. It's a mayor of a city.
But it's one of the biggest cities.
It's one of the biggest cities in the world, like, and most significant. Right?
I don't actually know. So I'm legitimately asking, why? Like, what can they do? What are they, like, what relations are they forming to do whatever they do in their city?
It's not like they can conduct foreign policy, is your point, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right. Right. So at least this is even true for, like, Montana, right? Like, we had a delegation from Singapore for like a week in Montana, like running around the Capitol this last legislative session, passed some special Singaporean solidarity resolution and, you know, establish What's that program where you exchange student programs, stuff like that?
Oh.
Those happen all the time too, yeah, through foreign delegations.
I was going to say stuff like that, or like some sort of trade business proposal type of thing I could see, especially in a big economy like New York City.
A lot where of it's attracting, like, foreign investment.
Yeah, yes. like the foreign investment stuff is what I would imagine are that's the what got, dynamic. Which
that's,
is
that's
yes,
what got Adams in trouble.
That's what got Eric Adams.
Yeah.
That's what got Eric Adams in trouble was the... It was Qatar, wasn't it?
Qatar.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Wow.
It's fine if it's Israel, though.
Yeah, if Mom Dottie would be like, Qatar! Be like,
oh! Heads explode.
Yeah.
But yeah, so my point being, like, that moment where they all saw the same thing, I mean, that's partially, there's two ways to interpret it. One, it's like the Nick Fuentes interpretation, like, Jewish power. Another one is, you know, there's an electoral angle for Jews in New York that they have a stereotype of, which is all the Jews support Israel. Now, is that true?
No.
Right? I mean, and is Mamdani getting enough of those anti-Zionist Jews on his side to make the difference? The ethnicity question could be really real, especially for the younger Jewish guy who's like, I don't have any opportunity in this town. And
right.
Maybe this guy will give it to me, you yeah. know? And maybe he looks more like me and he actually cares more about the things I care about.
Well, that's one of the, because like, when I just look online, there seems to be a very clear coordinated assault effort that seems to be like, all the Jews hate Mamdani. Mm-hmm. But then when I actually look at the polling, that's not what comes out.
Really?
Is it's like, here's a Fox News poll that's 42% of Jewish voters are going for Andrew Cuomo, 38% for Mamdani, 13% from the Russian Soviet.
Dude, what is up with that beret, man? That thing is...
Dude, he looks like a Congolese warlord.
Yeah, that's a Congolese. That should be Ugandan, like Mamdani. Yeah. For those only listening, yeah, the Republican candidate, he's got like a red beret.
Yeah. Looks like he's straight out of some
South African dictatorship.
Yeah.
Is what it looks like.
He
looks
like
does look like a South African dictatorship. That's what it.
Whoa!
It's got apartheid written all over it.
Just not the Israeli kind. Anyways.
Sorry. He needs to work on his branding. He's got a look problem.
Yeah. Man,
that's crazy. So he's not getting crushed by the, like, in this narrative that he's anti-Israel, therefore anti-Jewish in some way, major way.
That's not that, that failed. Not like it appears. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when he's clearly going to win the election, at least, you know, that's what everybody betting on it seems to think. So I have to imagine that he's not, like, I actually think it's probably not even breaking down that much by ethnicity. It's probably breaking down, like, do you want to buy a home? And, you know, like, that type of stuff is probably the larger shift. It's kind of it's the economy, stupid. Like, it actually feels like we're reverting back to that mindset in politics now. It's the economy, stupid, again. We had, like, a decade of weird, like, oh, you need to be compassionate about trannies. And, like, that's where, like, our entire politics was dominated by. And now we were kind of like, yeah, well, things kind of fell apart. So we're going back to the... So here's people offering solutions. Are those solutions going to work? I don't think Mamdani's solutions are going to work, but like he's at least presenting solutions to problems
that people care about.
That people care about.
The majority of people care about.
As a mayor of a city, not president of the world, you know, where going to Israel means something.
Quite true.
Yeah. So I guess kind of the last little section here was we've talked a lot about Mamdani, but also. A lot of the reminders of who Cuomo is are coming back. I'm seeing a lot online, especially with that Hot Girls for Cuomo thing. There's a lot of people being like, there's a lot of kind of people in MAGA world memeing a little bit about supporting Cuomo to fight the socialist. But then there's a lot of people kind of countering those memes with like, yeah, but like, remember he was the lockdown governor and like 15,000 people in nursing homes died. And then they like allegedly... covered up the numbers on that, right?
Yeah, right?
Specifically, they changed the counting methodology to exclude out-of-facility deaths.
Wow. So they just wheel them outside,
yeah.
Take their pulse. Oh.
Yep, sidewalk.
Jesus Christ.
But then there's also the sexual assault accusations, which we pulled up the report.
He's just Italian. That's already been dismissed. That's not
13 women allegedly harassed. Jesus. Actually, I have a video from the debate.
Guy's putting up a hat trick in sexual assault allegations. What's going on here?
That's four hat tricks.
Four hat tricks. putting up numbers.
I actually have a video. Mamdani, again.
That's so, like a lot of women. You know what I mean? Like, that's not a small. It's not like one, like, you know?
I remember. Oh my
God, you it's like a binder full.
That's a football team's worth of sexual assault allegations.
Plus
you know?
Two subs.
Yeah, right. I gotta have, you have a kicker, right? I mean, you know, you can't play all the time.
A kicker, a holder. Yeah.
Not in the bedroom, though. That's frowned upon.
Now, the funny thing about the debate, too, as I have another clip from the debate here, is Mamdani pulled a Trump, and he brought in one of the accusers to the debate to sit in the debate.
Oh,
and then named her.
Needs to happen.
Like speaking
I
of
the head game.
Speaking of like new age politicians, social media savvy. Here is a clip of that.
Mr. Cuomo, in 2021, 13 different women who worked in your administration credibly accused you of sexual harassment. Since then, you have spent more than $20 million in taxpayer funds to defend yourself, all while describing these allegations as entirely political. You have even gone so far as to legally go after these women. One of those women, Charlotte Bennett, is here in the audience this evening. Yeah. You sought to access her private gynecological records. She cannot speak up for herself because you lodged a defamation case against her. I, however, can speak. What do you say to the 13 women that you sexually harassed?
I'm Italian.
If you want to be in government, then you have to be serious and mature.
Just talks down to him. I kind of want to know what the rest of it says. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I didn't pull a clip that
that's
had all right. it. But... Wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a savage move, though.
That is a savage move right
So
there.
That's kind of the, you know, that those are the common attacks that we're going to have on Cuomo. Also, just like, you were the governor back in the day, and you were kind of the one restricting fixes in New York and stuff like that. There's a lot of that was part of it as well. Yeah. But
one of the things from the first clip that actually stood out to me was when he was basically talking about Mamdani's experience was like, you don't know how to handle an emergency. Was what he said. And it's like, by just shutting everyone down.
by moving all the sick people into nursing homes, that's how you handle emergency?
Yeah. I was like, jackass. That's a crazy defense.
Jesus. Yeah. That was... How he could even be competitive after that is kind of amazing.
I really want to know what happened behind the scenes where all of a sudden the Democrats went after him too.
Mm-hmm. Well, like same with Eric then. Adams.
It makes me wonder so much. Yeah, it's that like mafia machine that goes on where it's just like, Adams, you're getting a little off here.
Adams, I feel like I kind of remember ish.
He did an interview with Tucker where he talked about that, right? Am I misremembering who he spoke with? But I remember
I think it's like he wasn't critical or was critical of some. No, he got
immigration.
It was the immigration.
It was the immigration stuff.
Right. And then all of a sudden flipped.
Yep.
And then Qatar.
Yeah, there was this stuff, this legal stuff happening in the background, but there was never any, it's the same thing with Cuomo. There was the sexual assault stuff was happening in the background, but it was never like public narrative. He was probably going to win all the stuff, all of that was going on. Then all of a sudden it was like a flip was switched and it's like, now we're going to slay you in the court of public opinion. Just all of a sudden instantly. And it's like, what is, like, they both had that where it's just, it was lingering in the background for a little bit. And then all of a sudden, boom.
Completely remember, but was it something like... Was it like a Chris Christie moment for him where he was like not critical of Trump or something at some point?
That was his accusation of it. What he's charged with is a conspiracy to commit wire fraud, federal program bribery, and solicit
Eric
receive
Adams.
Foreign attributes. Yeah, Eric Adams. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about Cuomo.
Oh.
I was like, you know how when Obama went to visit one of the hurricanes and him and Chris Christie were together and everyone like flipped out on Chris Christie.
I remember there being a moment in during the COVID era that this was like early 2021, I think, where Cuomo said something negative about the UN or one of those international like bodies that was heavily involved in the COVID and the vaccine stuff. He said something negative about the way they were handling something. And then this stuff happened like a week later. I remember always linking, there was something that he said that was like negative towards his allies in that moment. I don't remember what it was. Mm. And I actually tried to grok it earlier and I couldn't figure out what it was. But yes. there was something there where he was like, went against, like Gavin Newsom did the thing and then he didn't do the thing. And then yeah. it was like, Gavin Newsom's our new boy now. Like yes. it was all of a sudden that.
Besides his actual crimes, it was like he went against the establishment.
Yeah,
it was more right. what it was. And then this stuff really came out. Well, but yep. I can't remember what that
thing
is.
And a lot of these sexual assault allegations, like, I don't know how many of them have actually gone through and like how deep a lot of them were. There was like one thing was something about like trying to convince an employee to do like strip poker or something. And then there was like other just like kind of being a little bit handsy and stuff like that.
It was Italian.
But like, I don't know how deep they went, like how bad they were, if they happened either. Like, it's one of those situations. I don't know how crazy it was.
Are we not saying phrasing anymore?
I do remember a story that came out of the New York Post where his daughter was dating a police officer and he sent that police officer to like the northern border.
Oh,
I do remember a story about God. That.
That's practically mafia.
Yeah,
hell, for sure.
Sounds
for sure.
Like New York, man.
Like.
It's crazy how much that goes there.
There's one thing, just so we can balance our attacks towards everybody, because we don't like any of these people, I think, across the board here.
That's kind of today's theme. We don't like anybody.
But I saw this clip, and I thought it was kind of funny. And it's more of a commentary on, why do politicians change their accents all the time?
Oh.
So here's Mamdani changing his accents around, depending on his... sometimes he's super Indian.
This is Zohran Mamdani. He's running for mayor of New York. Here's what he normally sounds like.
We gather tonight in the wealthiest city, in the wealthiest country, in the history of the world.
But in an interview in South Africa, he sounded a little different.
I actually created a playlist for Mira, who also happens to be my mother. Yes. You know, nepotism and hard work goes a long way.
And in an interview with the Turkish American podcast, Mamdani sounded different again.
I'll be honest with you, Brother Mansoum, is that at this point, not many people are thinking about it.
And here is Zohran during his rapper days.
You know, it would have been here earlier, but worldwide tour is a worldwide tour is a worldwide tour.
Dude, super Kamala vibes there.
Yeah,
Hillary, AOC, they all do it. Yeah. Everyone does it.
I mean, like, he literally grew up internationally, so maybe there's some excuse there. Like, you're in Africa, you grew up in Africa, so you kind of take on the accent a little bit.
I can see it a little bit.
I spent a long time like in the South at some different periods, yeah. And when I'm in the South, after a while... You know, that's it racist. Comes out.
I sometimes start to, when I go up to Canada, I sometimes start to develop my Canadian accent back again, where I'll like stretch out my A's and my O's a little bit in like sometimes a little bit, but it's like subtle. Mm. Like it's not, it's right. Like that is like a code switch that happens.
Right? That's pretty strong.
That's
yeah.
pretty strong.
Yeah.
I mean, very strong.
He moved to New York City when he was 7. So like,
I don't buy it.
I don't really buy it.
But when you're around it enough. I mean, if his family was talking that way too.
You know?
Or the community is around, you know. I don't know. I'm not trying to rug cover for the guy.
It's
just saying,
the Key and Peele skit where he's dapping up the brothers and he's shaking hands with the white dudes. This is exactly what this is. Okay? This is exactly what this is.
Good reference.
Yeah.
Well, all in all, with the whole Mamdani situation, I find it to be an interesting moment. I think he's an interesting candidate. I don't think he's a great candidate, but I think he's an interesting candidate. And I think he's showing where like new age politicians are going. Like, in order to be successful in major races, you got to be doing this type of stuff. Like, you got to be charismatic, you got to be able to do podcast circuits,
got to be able to change your accent,
you got to be able to you got to code switch however necessary,
gotta be a chameleon.
but like you kind of got to be able to fit into the new regime. Like, I think that's one of the reasons why he's, you know, he's got like a new form of campaigning that the others aren't doing. Like, Cuomo's not going on other podcasts. He's not speaking to the youth.
He's right? doing the Trump podcast ring.
Yeah. Run. Yeah. It's kind of learning the lesson of that. Yeah. The way to do a nationalist, localized style nationalism of the sort is you have to hit the new media, especially if you want young voters.
For sure.
And New York City is a younger city in a lot of ways. A lot of people move there. So, yeah.
Close on this. If gun to your head, you had to vote for Cuomo or Mamdani, who would you vote for?
Oh, that's a hard question.
That is a hard question.
I'd vote for Mom Donnie.
I love me some Italians.
Okay.
I don't, you know, it's one of those things where it's like really 50-50, actually.
Don't Jordan Peterson this.
Well, it depends what you mean by vote.
I wouldn't even be there. I wouldn't allow myself to get to the position where I had to vote.
I actually think Cuomo.
Cuomo?
Yeah.
All right.
It's hard to say, but I think Cuomo. I think he'd probably be better for the city. I think he'd get things done in a bit more of a positive direction than Mom Donnie would. I think Mom Donnie's also going to be restricted in a lot of ways, depending on how far that is kind of the thing is, like, it depends on how much all these other races go, is going to see how much power he actually does to change
from
things.
The political power game analysis. It depends on what he does when he wins, right? If he does an Obama where he turns around and he goes to the establishment of his party, be like, hey, we're all in this together. He brings them along. He pulls in new dollars somehow, because that's what Obama did to get faith back in the Democratic establishment, to make him one of himself after he built Hillary fucking Clinton. You can regain that power base from the outside if you're magnanimous enough. If you do the Trump thing, Trump 2016 thing, it's a lot difficult. It's a lot more difficult and a lot tougher. Trump 2020 was a little bit better with his relationship to the establishment as far as bringing them in and getting them on board, especially with the power players arising in the new tech. So I would kind of assess it like his effectiveness will be depend on like how he actually gets there. In terms of how he actually wields the power once he's inside that. If he recognizes that he's in a mafia, that is the New York City government, and he plays ball,
any government.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just exacerbated on the degree to which it's mafia-like and not within the letter of the law.
That's why you need a good Italian to run the mafia.
Yeah. Got to keep him in check.
You got to scam the NBA and the sports bettors. You know? That's another story. One other thought on the Cuomo thing is, like, Before all the COVID stuff, my understanding of Cuomo as a governor was like he was actually quite effective as a governor in kind of getting the things that he wanted done. And he wasn't like, you know, this like super lib. Like he was kind of much more middle of the road and not kind of like he didn't fall for a lot of the traps that a lot of the newer politicians were falling for at the time, which I think might also be another reason he got canned. Mm. He's like much more of like, in some sense, like a conservative Democrat, in a sense, which I guess would maybe be moderate, which might be more of what New York needs. Probably it's not enough of what New York needs by any stretch of the means, but it's probably a closer to the direction of where New York probably would need to go. Especially because him and his family are also like they're establishment, but they're like a faction within the establishment, is my understanding of how New York politics works.
Sure.
Like Mario Cuomo, the dad, like he was kind of like new up and comer and was kind of like that mob guy, that mob style guy that was kind of outside the norms of the normal New York establishment at the time. So then you kind of have that kind of emerge in that sense. That's my understanding of New York politics.
Joe, what's your answer? Settle the tie.
I think I would go with Mom Donnie, and the reason being that if he is effective at doing what he says he's going to do, it's probably just going to accelerate the crash of New York City. Not that I want to see New York City go down in flames or anything, but I think it would further show the young voters in New York City who are struggling under these problems that socialism is not the answer, because I don't think it will solve the problems. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully it might bring them back around to the other side of the equation of looking at market-based solutions.
If New York goes down in flames, are we team fire?
Fire.
Yeah, fire. Fire.
There it is.
Fire.
Good question. I don't know. Are you team fire? And who would you vote for if you had to, gun to your head? And I mean it. Gun to your head, you got to pick. I was going to say I'm a libertarian. I'm not going to vote because that's what I do.
Depends what you mean by voting.
And we're not Jordan Petersoning this one. Let us know in the comments, who would you vote for, Mom Donnie or Cuomo or the Congolese warlord? That is also an option. Just saying.
He's on 1% on Polymarket. Hey,
that doesn't mean you can't vote for
him. There's a chance.
You can also write in, Rudy Giuliani, right? Well, guys, good episode. Thank you so much for all of your valuable insights. As always, we are glad to have you with us. This has been Human Reaction. On behalf of David Rand, Kyle Mack, and Bennett, I'm Joe Sheehan. We will see you next time. Peace. Thanks for tuning in to Human Reaction. Please be sure to like, follow, subscribe, and give us a review on your podcast platform of choice. And if you want to become a member and support the show financially, check out humanreactionpod.com. And remember,
thing with Cuomo, if he wins, we got to deal with his brother again.